Turning to Genesis, that much I know. Genesis chapter number 2. Last time we met, we went over a lesson, lengthy lesson, in-depth lesson on God's image. The aspect of the Trinity of God wherein His likeness is imparted, was imparted to Adam, and then is imparted again in the last Adam. You can't be like God without that image. So we went over that, looked at it, understanding that's the importance of the Trinity, that is something that should bring joy and song to our heart. Now we're going to pick it up again, and we're going to look in chapter 2. This is going to be a discourse that is on the sixth day with more details. Verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And then in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden. Now this is very interesting here, because the curse reverses this, and the reverse of the curse reverses the reverses of this. You've got the law, the only law there is, that God expects man to keep by grace. There's no law condemning him because he hasn't broken the law. The law doesn't condemn a righteous man. So, but you've got God expecting him to keep this law by grace. And we want to understand the misconception as we go through this of grace. Because there's only one flaw I've ever found with grace. Amen? There's only one flaw. We'll look at it and we'll see it as we go here, as we go through here. But he says right here, verse 16, of every tree of the garden thou hast to freely eat? No, it's mayest. That's grace. This is the problem the Christian, after they're saved, begins to understand the difference between love. They call it a hardening of the, in Maine, a hardening of the arteries. That's how they pronounce it in Maine. See, arteries, you ought to do these things you ought to do. There's no you have to anymore. You don't have to give, you don't have to live, you don't have to go here, but you ought to. See, the law is fulfilled by grace. So this is a problem we're going to confront as we go through here, but in a different kind of way. As I looked at this message, and I've often read through it, and this always has jumped out at me, so I want to give a delivery on it. He said in verse number 18, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now these are words that Adam is hearing from God before he creates Eve. He doesn't understand the meaning of these words. He's never sinned. Doesn't grasp evil, and evil isn't always something that's sinful. And when God uses it, it has to do with judgment. The consequences of doing something sinful, and that's what he's going to experience. He doesn't believe God, and he goes ahead and eats of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, they thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now this tells you that the sixth day isn't yet complete, because when the sixth day was complete, in chapter 1, verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, behold, it was very good. We're not at the end of the sixth day yet. This is detailing, expounding on the sixth day. He's not complete. He's not done yet. It is not good that the man should be alone, while I make him a helpmeet for him. And he goes and he describes how he puts him to sleep, so on and so forth. And it's the nature of God, when he creates something to be good, not to leave it ungood. And you'll find that same experience in your life as a Christian, a new creature in Jesus Christ. He's going to show you the ungood. That's what he's going to teach you, and you're going to see and discover in your walk with God. And you look at it in verse number, we're in chapter 3. Let's jump over to chapter 3. So the law is intended to be kept by grace. And this one problem, this one sin, is the entirety of all the consequences that will be experienced by committing it. It's called unbelief.
You have a text message.
It's called unbelief. Thank you, Lord.
You want to get away?
Brother, you don't. People don't go to hell because they're drunkards. People don't go to hell because they're thieves or liars. If they did, then we would all be going to hell. People go to hell because they don't believe what God says about their sins. It's unbelief. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Adam has no concept of this. He's about to get a very rude awakening. And so God creates Eve. Now, he doesn't call her Eve. He calls her woman, not as a disrespect, but because they're one. Amen? And then you pick it up in chapter 3, and you see it in verse 1. Here's the serpent approaching Eve. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the of every tree of the garden. Now, heretofore, there have been no question marks in the dialogue of God. Mm-hmm. Now there is. Mm-hmm. It's introduced by Satan, and it pertains to the Word of God, because that is the foundation of the foundational stumbling block of all sin. It's unbelief. It's questioning the Word of God. If God's Word is wrong over here, how do you know it's not wrong over here, or over here, or over here? See, that's the idea. And so unbelief can breed infinite amount of sin. And that's exactly what it does. That's exactly what it did. The germ seed of sin was sown in Adam's heart the moment he didn't believe. Everything could take place at this point in time. Everything and anything in rebellion against God. Because he didn't believe him. But that question mark was something that influenced him and was obsessively told by Satan. Every time he speaks questioning God's word. So he says, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, that's obviously not what God said when you compare it to chapter 2 over there in verse 16. What he did was he changed the truth of God into a lie. Just like Romans 1 warns you about. Amen. Gee, that'd be a great verse to change if you had new Bibles. Amen. Somebody ought to check that out. And as a result of that, this is where we want to go. In verse number 7, the eyes of them both were open. Now, you ever see a little baby's eyes? When they're open, it's like, wow, that's wonderful, that's good. But at a certain point in time comes when a little baby's eyes open, they don't look the same. That innocency and purity is gone, isn't it? It's almost like a shadowy grayness there. something lurking on the inside that wasn't there before. Amen? So that explains it, doesn't it? And they knew that they were naked, and what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I don't know about, but my mama used to make didn't cook a lot of different kind of meals, but she cooked a mean spaghetti sauce. Amen. Took her years how to learn it, and meatballs right along with it. And we'd eat the meatballs faster than she could make them on the spine. We had nine kids in my family. We'd eat those meatballs, we'd sneak them and grab them, she'd go away, she'd come back and they'd be almost all gone. So she'd keep making them, and you could always tell someone was cooking at mama's house because you could smell it. Amen? Now here they go. She's got this apron on because she wants to stuff this one. Here's Adam and Eve, and God knows there's something cooking in Adam's house. How come? He's wearing an apron, man. Amen? He's wearing an apron, and God can tell something smells kind of fishy. Like serpent style. In Adam's house. And they made themselves... This is Hell's Kitchen right here. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. This is what I got to get. This is what jumps out at me, man. In the cool of the day. This is one of only two times you find that word in the Bible. Cool. Now, there's a lot of people that say, don't turn God into hip-hop, and I don't plan on it. I'm going to tell you right now, God is the ultimate cool. God is Mr. Cool. That's what we're going to preach on today. And I'm going to tell you why and how and the three necessary character traits that have to be found, and they're found right here as we're reading through this passage. And what's interesting here is not God hiding from man. Remember that.
Okay.
It's man hiding from God. Yes. Amen. And he smells something. We're going to look at this. Lord, please bless. Please bless this lesson. Help us, Lord, see the irony of our hypocrisy as we attempt to counterfeit and to hide in the process from our own accountability and sins, and recognizing the coolness of the day is not just something we could see you walking in, but we could fellowship with you in the process. It is your heart's desire. I pray it will be the heart's desire of those here today. For after all, Lord, I know that's why we were created anew in Christ. I ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
And ain't that the truth, brother? Because it is. One of the most classic counterfeit words of character in all the Bible is cool. I don't care what culture, every culture, America has its own version of cool. It's not an inherent self-worth. It's earned. It's a form of respect that's due, not just because of who you are, but what you consistently prove yourself to be. We're going to see that, because that's God, amen? I mean, some associated words with cool are sang-froid, that's French composure, especially under fire. Spezzatura. Especially effortless virtuosity. You've got words like suave, angst, nonchalance, swag, smolder, classy, stylish. These are all descriptive words of worldly cool. They're just cheap plastic counterfeits of the real thing. Amen? Because the concept of character that we want to see is God's character, and recognize that he's walking in the cool of the day because he is cool. He absolutely is. The world of cool all around us, brother, don't kid me. It's cool wannabe. It's not just high school students. You go to the mall and see all these high school students want to be cool.
Yeah.
They walk a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way. You'll see it in churches too. Don't tell me you won't.
Yeah.
Amen. Doesn't matter how old you are. There's 20-year-old cool, 2-year-old cool, 10-year-old cool, 30-year-old cool, 40-year-old cool. Amen. How was that? Middle-aged cool. 60-year-age cool.
Well, here's
you got 70. You've got celebrity cool, and gadget cool, and comic cool, and tough guy cool, philosophical cool, tattoo cool, fashion cool, shoe cool, hair cool, color cool, classical cool, all kind of romantic cool, athletic cool, accent cool, amen, oratory cool, music cool, dance cool, intellectual cool, taste cool, food cool, advertise. You got geek cool. You got dude cool. You got sin cool.
That's right,
dude. Oh, gotta watch out for that one, brother.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like what all the others are.
Yeah.
If God isn't Mr. Cool. Amen? You got your Newmans and your Ollies and your Clint Eastwoods and your Schwarzeneggers and your Brandos and your Kardashians and your Monroes and all these different kind of people. You can even pronounce cool in different ways to be cool. That is so cool. I mean, like you could say it like a cap. Cool. You say it with two syllables. Cool. That's cool. That's cool, man. Cool. Or you could say it without the fourth letter. Cool. That's cool. Yeah. Cool is the end thing. Everybody wants to be cool. It has to do with being accepted in a heightened position. Amen, brother. That's the lust of the flesh. It's a cultural universal concept. The goal that we want to recognize is that it's a counterfeit. Now, understand that God is the ultimate cool. You've got those little, you know, cute little legendary rats. Right? They're called lemmings. Anybody ever see a lemming?
No.
I think if you mix it with lime, it tastes good.
Cool.
Cute, furry little rats is what they basically are. But they are legendary. They're herd-centric. You can take a lemming, and people think they got really good eyes because of their eyes, but they don't. They got really poor eyesight. And they follow. You take one lemming and you lead them off a cliff, all the others will follow. Because it's cool. You're doing this, I'm going to do this. You know, you're doing this, I'm going to... Whatever. Everybody else is doing it, you got... That's the cool thing to do. It's emblematic of the blind leading the blind. I think Christ talks about Pharisees like that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Wow. We want to be cool. We got to be like brother, sister, so-and-so. And they walk off the cliff following that same Pied Piper tune that... That fellow played, I don't even know what the song was, but people, the rats follow it, man. They like that sort of thing. Let's look at three of these character traits you see them here in the garden. Believe me, this is not a hip message to try to make God cool. He is cool. He doesn't have to try to be. And when I say God's cool, I'm not saying he's lukewarm cool. He's the complete opposite of lukewarm. Amen? He's perfect. You know, when it's really hot out in the summer, man, you can turn the air conditioner on. Why? You want to be cool. When it's freezing cold outside, you got to turn the heat on. You want to be cool. We always, cool is the perfect temperature. Amen? It's the temperature of God. Amen? Just remember, there's this coming. First thing we're going to see is with cool and God's cool is he's confident. God knows. God knows. I'm going to give you the three things about cool. God knows, God cares, and God is able. You can't be cool unless you have all three of those. God knows. You got to get a hold of this and recognize this. He's just cool. He knows what he's going to do before he does it. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. Amen? He's cool. They've got that commercial, that hamster trinity, you know, the soul, the Kia soul, you know, the three transformed rats there, you know, they're working out, get rid of their guts and so on and so forth, and they jump into this little tiny miniature green machine, all the ladies are waiting to gush over them, and they're walking in here, the cold, and they're singing that song by Lady Gaga, I think it's like, I live for the applause, I live for the applause, however that song goes, they're living for the applause, amen, and as they pause, they get out of the car and you see their shoe, everybody see that? They're cool. They're the epitome of cool. And they step out of that car and then they start walking. And then they turn around and go. And they keep on walking. Away! From the crowd. Because they're cool. And the crowd isn't. They don't drive in a soul. Amen. Well, God's cool is a little bit different. Amen. Because God's cool doesn't walk away.
Amen.
He walks too. What a wonderful, great God we... You know, we're not talking about a car soul. We're talking about man soul. Not something real serious, brother. I'd say way more serious than whatever car you're saving your money to buy. Amen. Or still buying after you save your money to buy. Like most of us. God's cool. Here's God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Mr. Cool. And you got that Michael Jackson. You know, that moonwalk. God's cool is going forward, brother. The sun walk, amen? No, he's not going backwards. He's going, but God, you can't be cool. Yeah. You're bald. We already got those bald jokes, too.
That's good.
Amen. I was told by one of my relatives that my name Baldino stands for Bald Eagle. In India. That's what I was told. Don't tell me eagles aren't cool. He knows. God walks to Adam. He's not cocky with his knowledge. He's not condescending. He doesn't fluff off the fluff on his shoulder like it's dandruff. Amen. He's cool. And as he approaches Adam, he asks him questions. He's letting Adam know. You were asked the question about the Lord and you chose not to believe it. So when he approaches Adam after that question, he says to Adam, he called on Adam, said, where art thou? Question mark. Who told thee thou wast naked? Question mark. Hast thou eaten of the tree? Question mark. What is that thou hast done? Question mark. He is speaking rhetorically because he already knows. It's funny. It's amazing. Here's Adam, and Adam's sitting like this, and the trees in front of him, shh, shh. All of a sudden, all these words are flowing through his mind that he knew before, he didn't know before, different meanings than he knew before, and meanings that take on a new perspective. All of a sudden, guilt, shame, grievance, and humiliation, and sin, and trouble, and confusion, death. What did that... frustration and evil, and all of a sudden he God can't see him. He thinks God can't see him because of the tree being reversed. Amen. God doesn't see the tree, he sees Adam.
Yeah.
He sees Adam hiding, he sees through the tree. We reverse that in the end. Because Christians don't think God sees the tree anymore. They think God sees Adam.
That's good.
Man, isn't that something? Isn't God cool? He's able to reverse what we reverse. He turns the curse into the blessing, brother. I'm telling you, nobody could do that but God. And here Adam gets up and he finally faces God. You can tell he's convicted, whatever that means. He just learned it. It wasn't in his vocabulary one chapter ago, but now it is. He's convicted. Then he looks at God and he blames God, and actually he blames his wife. And he goes further than that. He blames every other human being on the face of the planet. Except himself.
Yeah.
Well, Brother John, that's an example. Isn't Eve the mother of all living?
Yeah.
Mr. Cool, as if God didn't know. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. As if God didn't know Adam was at fault for Adam's fault. Amen? I mean, you look at this and it's chutzpah. There's no equivalent word to define chutzpah. Whoever heard that word before? It's a Jewish word. The best I've ever heard it defined is a young fellow that loses his temper and kills his mother and father and has to go to court to prove his innocence. He doesn't prove his innocence. He claims guilty, but he cries for mercy. He says, the judge says, why? He says, because I'm an orphan. You say, what's that? Chutzpah. It's the blame game! Chutzpah. Amen. You know the problems in your life? They're your problems. I'm not saying problems you were man was born onto trouble. I'm saying these are things in your life that you can't blame anybody else on. Because God's the solution to every problem. Amen? He knows. Oh, it's my husband, it's my wife, it's my father, it's my mother, it's my brother, it's my sister, it's my daughter, it's my son, it's my friend, it's my foe, it's my boss, it's my fellow employee, it's my neighbor, let's reverse God, it's the dog! That ain't my homework. And he sits there and faces God, his conscience points to a rose not yet thorned, but he's pricked even still, and it's dripping blood, saying, life. Life debt. The wages of sin is death. Amen. Even the ivy begins to look and feel like it's poisonous. You ever touch ivy? It's like you gotta wash your hands. Amen. It feels like it. Mr. Cool knows. He knows that every man shall give account for himself. Never mind about her or him or her or him or her or him. Or it's you, amen, that's going to give account of yourself. I think we should be doing, I think this and I think on. It's you that God is going to hold accountable for you. No one else, amen. Look in Luke chapter 16. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows that unbelief is capable of committing any sin. And with confidence, he approaches Adam and Eve. And he's not like, oh man, what did you do? You screwed up my perfect world. Now what am I going to do? Like God didn't know? He's cool. You can't be cool and not know what you're going to do. Amen? That's why guys continually get lost when they drive with their wife places. I don't need GPS. I got this girl right up there. Give me the GPS. Still get lost. God knows. In Luke chapter 16. Let me tell you something, brother. Sin ain't cool. The world wants people to think that sin is cool. It ain't cool. Because the only other time I find cool in the Bible, oh, it's God, brother. But sin can't go near it. Sin hides from cool. Wants to be cool. You better believe the devil was looking at that. And he said, maybe he's going to crush him like he did in Genesis 1 verse 2. You know, when the darkness was on the face of the earth. Maybe he'll destroy him. That'll ruin his crowning act of creating man in his image. Whatever that means. And then he comes up with this pot and this plant, and God doesn't do anything. He doesn't approach Adam and Eve with anger.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He doesn't take a switch off a tree and start whipping them.
Yeah.
Parents, beware. husband and wives. Amen? He just looks at them and he knows. What are you going to do when you find out and discover your mate's faults? Amen? They're no different than yours. They stem from unbelief. They breed what's called sin. It's the germ seed of unbelief. It's sin. Luke chapter 16, you see it in verse number 24. The only other time you find cool. And here's a man that's in hell. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool. Please. My God, I just want to be just a little cool. Cool my tongue if I'm tormented in this flame. He couldn't. You see, the gap in the distance between God's holiness and man's sin was unapproachable.
Yeah.
Unbridgeable. Apart from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't take that, so he died in his sin. And he could never, ever, ever be cool. God's cool because he knows everything. You ever play somebody in a game of chess or some other kind of board game? They're thinking their strategy. So, but the thing about chess is you're thinking moves ahead with all the possibilities somebody else might move. And when you get towards the end of a game, if you're pretty good, you could say no matter where he moves his king, because that's all he got left, I'm going to win this game. He's not going to get me in a stalemate because I already understand that. Amen? Now, somebody that knows they're going to win, amen, before it ends, has cool. They're confident. Amen? God knows. He says in Isaiah, I love this verse, I'll read it to you. God, oh, he already knew, Adam, what he was going to do before you did what you knew you were going to do. God already knew. He knows your problems. Amen? Isaiah chapter 65, verse number 24. Mr. Cool. And it shall come to pass before they call. Wow. I will answer. Not just after. He already knew Adam, the beginning from the end from the beginning. You say, how do you know that? Because when he talks about the lamb that's crucified, he said, there's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world.
That's right.
He already knew what he was going to do. That's why the first words that come out of his mouth, let there be light.
Amen.
And that light is in Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, that's God's answer for sin, brother. Then you tell me what answer you have outside of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it ain't cool.
Yeah.
You'll never know what cool is. Because there's no cool in hell if you don't know Jesus Christ. You'll die in your sins. What a terrible, tragic thing for a man to lose his soul. Trying to be cool. God will look at you playing chess, and while you're sitting there, I'm not talking about the end, I'm talking about the beginning. You want to play God in chess? God will sit down right there with you. He'll sit down and he'll look at you and say, who wants to move first? Okay, God, you move first. He looks at you and he says, check me. Well, let me move first. You be black and I'll be white. Either way, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, you move first. You always start with the pawn. You move that little pawn. God looks at you and he says, check me. Say, how come? Because he, brother, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got confidence, humble confidence. You know, the Los Angeles Police Department, praise the Lord. The Los Angeles Police Department has a standard operating procedure when they get rookies. They bring them into this room, this bubble of a room that's got, you know, a bulletproof glass, so on and so forth. And they take out their 9mm, bang. Now, I'm talking about blanks. I'm talking about cool. I'm talking about boom, 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 boom. And they're taking out these pistols, these 9mm, whatever they are these days. I think they're the Berettas. And they get a mannequin. It's dead. And they start shooting. Boom, 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 boom. And they turn around, boom, boom, and they start shooting. And then they turn on the lights and they go over to the mannequin that has a bulletproof vest on. And there's no penetration. Amen? Mm-hmm. And they look at the rookies and they say, okay, who wants to put the bulletproof vest on? Let's have us a test.
Wow.
That's what God did.
Wow.
He already died for us, brother.
Mm-hmm.
He became sin for us already. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen? But he never sinned. What a wonderful, wonderful God. Sin will take a man all the way to hell if they don't trust in the armor of God. Amen?
Amen.
Not just to fight, but to allow him to fight in your behalf. because he is the armor of God. God knows what you're going to do before you ever do it. Amen? I like your Christians and they worry. You're worrying about everything because you think God sees the tree and doesn't see you. You don't know how to trust them. Amen? There's Mr. Jamaica Cool himself. You ever hear that song?
Bobby McFerrin, yeah. Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Here's a little song, Garut. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Amen. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. And it just gets you going, brother. I am crucified with Christ, amen. He knows the victory. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will make everybody down. Don't worry. And that just gets you going. So what are you worrying about? Brother, that's make-believe cool. I'm talking about real cool. Ultimate Mr. Cool. Amen. God Almighty. He's taking care of everything. He knows. He knows your problems. You just don't think he does. You think he sees the obstacles. Amen. Well, what are we going to do now, God? Plan A is falling apart. I want to try Plan B. What's Plan B? Plan A. Oh, Plan B is falling apart. Plan C. What's Plan C? Plan A. It's always the same plan, but he works. Amen. It works because he works. Yeah. He fulfilled it. Amen. God knows. Cool has to be confident. Amen. Humble confidence. He's not cocky or boastful. He's walking to Adam with complete confidence. He knew God. He knew he was going to do it. He knew he was going to screw up. Amen. Adam didn't know he was going to screw up. God did. He knew he was going to fix it. Adam didn't know he was going to fix it. But he did, didn't he? Plan A, always believe in Christ. A, B, C. But it's always the same thing. It's always that God never changes. Now I want you to see the next one to be cool. It's not just you know. He knows. He cares. Let me show you this chain. You look at it in Psalm 142. Because the Bible says, you know, brother, let's be real. I don't want to demean caring and compassion. We're going to look at compassion and understand it. Amen? That real compassion has to come from God. You get a little kid in a science class and you know, the playground outside, it's a beautiful day and the sun shines. He doesn't care about molecules. I drive to work every day and there's a 4x8 sign and it's like our house is being taken away because of the bank, and I drive by and it's like, who cares? who cares?
That's right.
Let me tell you something, brother. 10,000 people are going to die today. There's people going to discover they got cancer today, or their child's going to die today, leukemia, you know, a cough that won't go away, a rare, crazy, sick disease. And you begin to discover that your ability to care is really limited. And we like to put caring and compassion on a checklist, just like everything else. Okay, I cared today. Did that today. And that's not care. And just face up and own and discover something. God cares. And to really care, you have to discover what it means for Him to care through you. That's real care. That's when somebody prays for a problem somebody else is going to have in a local church. Do we care about problems other people are having in local churches? Not unless somebody in this local church brings it to our attention. Then we care because they care, and we don't really care because they care. We really care this much because God cares.
Amen.
Amen? This is what you've got to get hold of. It's in Psalm chapter 142. I just want to be real about it. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, we, you know, you don't care about souls. What do you mean I don't care about souls? I talk to people about Christ all the time. Well, you don't have a checklist where we don't go out to... Brother, you think you should be going out knocking on doors? Why aren't you? Well, what are you talking about? Amen? I talk to people about Christ all the time. I used to make a point of making sure everybody knew that I did. I don't do that anymore.
Amen?
I just try to live it. And not be fake about it. And when I screw up and I don't do what God tells me to do as He burdens my heart for people, I confess. By the grace of God, give me another opportunity. But it's God that cares, brother. It's caring. Compassion is in a checklist. Did that. Amen. So like there's a paradigm the body of Christ is in that coming here week after week I try to break. Because grace doesn't push aside the law, it fulfills the law.
Right. Amen.
And if you don't understand that, you'll get hardening of the arteries. Like they say, amen. Amen. And that is the main thing, after you're saved. In Psalms 142, verse 4. Incline not my Psalm 142 verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now I put down next to that, and you don't have to turn there, but Solomon says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Nobody could know their own. That's in Proverbs 14 verse 10. Nobody could know the bitterness of a trial or problem you're going through deeper than you do. Nobody can. And because they can't care the way you care. That's not a wrong or bad. Amen? But I'm telling you that God cares.
Amen.
He's Mr. Cool. You're not cool, brother, if you're going to be the hero of some sort of movie or story and you know the solution, but you don't invest any interest in the welfare of others. That's not cool. That's uncool. Amen? That's a bogus stone god or wooden god or God that lives in the cloud. That's not the God of the Bible. He's not indifferent. He cares, brother. He cares. How cool is that? I mean, for crying out loud, Popeye never would have been a success if he never saved olive oil. Amen? I mean, what kind of Batman hero would he be if Gotham City was destroyed? How about Spider-Man if he was squashed and didn't know how to climb the well? Superman, amen? If he couldn't dodge the speeding bullets and jump higher than buildings, faster than planes to rescue Lois Lane, amen? What kind of God would Jesus Christ be if he let us just dwindle and die in our sins? He wouldn't be cool. But he is.
Yeah.
He cares.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Man, I found that out about over 30 years now. It just seems like, seems like forever going forward as well as backwards. I know God, man. Amen.
Yeah.
I love the Lord. The Bible says over there, I'll read you a verse. It just always strikes me. I just love it because he's touched with our infirmities.
Yeah.
In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Wow! Real compassion has to understand the frailty of humanity in its fallen nature. Jesus Christ wouldn't be God, Mr. Cool, if he didn't care about the world he created. Oh, God doesn't care about me anymore. He wants to abandon me. I'm so crummy. He's just tolerating me because he's not a quitter. Amen? That's not cool.
That's right, yeah.
That's what a lot of people do with their pets. Amen? Or their children do with their toys. You're not a pet and you're not a toy.
Right.
You're a living soul.
Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
And God, he really cares. Amen? He goes to the garden and he weeps and he cries. No, this is the paradigm of compassion we have to understand and come to grips with and own it and admit it and recognize, well, gee whiz, we can pray about something and then go home and not care about it. Okay, that's not wrong of itself. It's wrong when God brings it to your attention for the moment that he brings it to your attention he wants you to care about. That's when you do. Amen? And if he lays it on your heart consistently, then you consistently care about it. That's God working through you because he's cool. He has vested his life in every person in here.
Amen.
That's God, brother. I love the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, he wants to walk with Adam. It was Adam that was afraid to walk with him. he created you. He wants to have fellowship with you. How holy a God is our God? How wonderful a God is our God who knows our frame that it's just dust? Amen. He doesn't want to squash us, brother. He realizes we don't have a backbone like jellyfish. Amen? Even jellyfish, you'll see them on the beach laying on a rock, basking in the sun, receiving the support from something other than themselves. Amen? God put that rock there. He cares. I think about how could you describe the distance between God's holiness and man's sin right at the time of that? I mean, brother, I'll drive home in a car sometimes. We got to crack the window. Amen? And because of things. Amen? And I look at God, brother, we have no idea. Would you step into a cesspool of muck and mire and filth and yuck and walk across it to rescue a worm? Hey, everybody. That's nothing compared to what God has done for you and I. We can't possibly care like God cares.
Right.
Amen. He careth for your soul. He careth. God does care, brother. Don't think for a moment. He did that. Well, what would make you think He doesn't care? Brother, He's walking in the cool of the night. Hey, Mr. Cool. The Bible says He walks on the wind. Tell me that ain't cool. He walks on water. Tell me that ain't cool. And he never drowns. He never sinks. He walked on this world. He didn't just walk through this cesspool, brother. There wasn't a spot on Him in the whole time He walked this planet.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. That's Mr. Cool. That's our God.
Amen.
Brother, he never sinned. He never watched and studied and messed around with pornography or cursing or sowing discord or bitterness or blame or getting drunk or gluttony or dirty joking. Never even heard a bruised reed. God stayed away from sin, although He lived in a world that was flustered with sin all around Him. Amen? And beyond that, He became a friend. Sinner. Whoa, that's cool. That's Mr. How cool is that, amen? I mean, born as a baby in a barn? Almighty God? No one could have thought of that. Our God did. Because He's humble. And He knows what He's going to do. He doesn't have to flaunt it. Amen? He's Mr. Cool. Everybody's preaching the Old Testament. The kingdom's come to the king. And here comes a man. You know, locust hanging out of his mouth looks like a street bug. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What? Amen? Say, what's that? That's cool. That's who God used to point people to Him.
Amen.
You don't think He wants to use you? Amen? Sure He does. But you're not the one that's cool. He is. Amen. Mr. Cool. And you got that riveting scene in Ben-Hur. Whoever saw Ben-Hur, you had that Mr. Cool actor. What's his name? Charleston Chew Heston. They don't even make Charleston Chews anymore. I used to get them at the drive-in theaters. They don't even have the drive-in theaters anymore. But Charleston Heston was Mr. Cool. And that took 5 weeks to film one scene in this movie, the most riveting scene of Ben-Hur. 15,000 extras. And this one scene on it was a race. It was a chariot race. Over 18 chariots, talking to a stunt director, and he says to him, I've been practicing. I can drive the chariot, but I'm not sure I can really win. And the stunt director looked at me and says, you don't have to win. It's in the script, man.
Yeah.
You see, if you're result-oriented, you're performing, and you've forgotten. Amen? He knows. He cares. He's provided a way because He's able to do what He knows you and I can't do. This is the compassion. And this is why God says over there in 2 Corinthians, and I'll read it to you, He said in 2 Corinthians 1, He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You first have to learn God's compassion before you can really have compassion on others. Because He'll teach you, you don't care.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. Amen. We don't have to be sanctimonious about it. Amen. And if you care, it's because God lays it on your heart and you're yielding to it. Amen. So that has to do with God knowing and God caring. And it should have a result, like C.S. Lewis said, the Trinity is something you begin to dance with God in your relationship with Him. You look at the Trinity, we got this misconception of the Trinity. You know, God the Father's got these big, you know, God biceps, maybe a few God tattoos here and there. And, you know, God the Son's, you know, just a little baby or a grown-up, you know, God adult. But He's always, you know, the smaller God. And the Holy Ghost is just, He's immaterial. And He just, you know, points people to, you know, to God. He never, and never realizing that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you read in the Gospel of John, they're all the time giving each other glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the Trinity dance. Amen. That's what they're doing. That's what you got to read. God wants us to have fellowship with Him as His Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. All three of them. Not just that. A misconception of the Trinity. Don't know how to dance with the Lord. turn and face your partner square. You ever hear a square dancing song? Shake their hands and bow your head. Now do-si-do. And Christ say, yay, gonna get on your knee and bow all day. Amen? Stand in place and clap along. Twiddle your thumbs to this here song. Girls all curtsy, boys don't fool. Praise his name, he's Mr. Cool. Because he is, brother. Come on. Why aren't Christians rejoicing in God? You lost your cool, brother. Because your cool is in God. Amen? There was a time I tried to be cool. Can you believe it? I didn't come here and show off my new shoes today. Did I? Those who believe cool shouldn't be part of the church. Let me tell you something. Cool is the church.
Yeah.
If Christ is your head. And this is the last one. He's able. He's able. He's so cool, man. They had this drug cartel in Mexico. And they got a problem over there with all kinds of things. Just like America, but it's big drug cartels. You know, overlapping and overflowing into California, Arizona, so on. But el problema. Because there was lots of drugs going on. The thugs broke into this man's house. He died, had lots of kids. Lots of little kids. And you know, in Spanish, I know a lot of Spanish, but it's niño. El niño, that's the boy. So he taught his kids to respond to something when he said, el niño, el niño. So here come these drug cartels, they're looking for refuge, getting away from the bad guys. They run and they threaten this guy, you know, they got these bandanas on, and these one-eyed, and talking like, and they're all mean and nasty. And the daddy yells out, el niño, el niño, and they start laughing. And what's el niño going to do? And then all of a sudden, a shotgun goes flying through the air. My baby. Right, he points it at them. Let me tell you something, brother. If we just have the faith of little children, we could blow away the problems in our life. Now, we want to do without, with a flick of a finger. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us to have the faith of little. El Niño also means great storm. Praise the Lord, depending who says it and what they're talking about when they say it. Now, here's another little child. Drawing a picture. All my kids were telling me about it recently. And drawing a picture. And they said, what are you drawing a picture of? And she said, I'm drawing a picture of God. Well, you can't do that because no one knows what God looks like. Well, just wait about another 2 minutes and you'll find out. Say, what's that? That's cool. Because you want to know something? When you understand God's cool, you'll see him in every sunset, every sunrise, every blade of grass. When you stop for a moment and see the robins, that's God. The sparrows, that's God. You know, the stormy clouds, it's God. I'm talking about the raindrops and the rainbow. You'll see God in the circumstances of your life. Amen? That's God drawing a picture in your life. Watch me be Mr. Cool. But you won't let him. Because you're hiding. He's not hiding from you, brother. It's us that's hiding from him, Mr. Cool. There was this little fella, 2-3 years, I don't know how old exactly, but he, ever see a big wheel? Anybody ever have the big, I used to want the big wheels, amen? Even my kids were driving, I just want to push them, let them walk, I want to drive the big wheel, because they're just fun.
They're cool.
Like they drive, they're cool. So the little kid driving the big wheel, and he looks at his daddy, it was Easter Sunday, and he's got chocolate on his face, and so forth, and he looks at his daddy as they're walking, life is so good, and he looks at his daddy, and he says, hey daddy, Jesus died on a cross. And his daddy thinks to himself, wow, that is so cool. And he's like, man, I must be doing something right. You know, I mean, the kid's talking about Jesus Christ, like he knows him, and he died on the cross, and he looks at him, and he says, and then what? And he waits for his little son's response. His little son is just sitting there and he's thinking for a moment. He's like, whoa, man, maybe he's been reading Greek or Hebrew and he's putting this stuff together and he's going to give me some long eschatological explanation of Jesus Christ. And he looks at him and he waves his hand at his daddy like, oh. And he jumps up and he says, then he sent the Easter Bunny to bring us a big basket of chocolate candy! Just doesn't understand the resurrection, brother. Doesn't understand that Christ died for him. Sure, he knows he rose again, but he only sees these chocolate candies and the Easter bunny. Doesn't know. Well, maybe he does. But differently than we realize, amen? I know the only flaw in grace is that God allows you to be outside of it. If you choose to. But are you basking in that grace? Mr. Cool, make you nice and warm, amen? And what a paradigm. Mm-hmm. And there's children that never want to graduate from elementary school. There's this guy called Mr. Johnny Kindergarten. Why should I graduate from 20, 35? I don't even know how old he is anymore. Straight A's every year. Always wins in sports. When, you know, when they pick the, you know, dodgeball, he's always the first one. Why should I give up 4 weeks vacation in the summer, he thinks to himself, amen. He gets all the Valentine cards, and, you know, he knows how to follow the simple rules, and homework is a breeze work. I mean, it's so easy to him, he's got it down. He wins most of the time in spelling bees, amen. I mean, this is Mr. Johnny Kindergarten. Kindergarten cool ain't God garden cool, amen.
Amen.
Before Adam got saved, he thought God saw the tree, not him. Amen. Christians, after they're saved, think God sees them and not the tree. We've reversed it, brother. Well, what a cool God that he can reverse what we reverse. Say, what's he? He turns the world upside down. That's what he does. Amen. Say, who's God? God is Mr. Cool. Let me give you an allegory as I try to wrap this up and close this over for you. Turn in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It's a story written by Mr. Plato himself as he elevates philosophy in the world of teaching and political theory. Plato's Republic philosophy. And he talks about the allegory of the cave. And brother, you can only go so far with philosophy if it doesn't bring you to Christ. You're warned about it. Learn from it, but beware. Amen? Because he doesn't teach him about what's necessary that God wants you to see to understand that he's cool. And he talks about these people that are tied in a cave from childhood. And they're tied around their neck, and they're in this cave, and they're never able to turn around because their neck is tied. So they're always looking in this direction, and there's an opening on the opposite side. And then there's a flame running, a light that's shining through, and all they ever see are shadows cast on this. Gets the allegory of the cave. And they try to guess what it is and see what it's doing and understand based on their limited knowledge of defining things by shadows only. And they look at that, and that's all they see is these shadows. And they think, and then one day a man, for some reason, he's set free and he walks outside and he sees this world, and at first it blinds him because it's like, whoa, I didn't know it was that good, that beautiful, that wonderful, that great, that grandiose, amen, whatever that means, that cool. And he recognizes, you know, begins to understand all this, and he goes back and he tries to describe it to the people that are yet in the cave. And they don't understand what he's talking about. And the problem and the danger is if you forget what it's like to be in the cave, and you condemn those that are still in the cave, not understanding they're in bondage and you've been liberated. This is what God's trying to get Adam to see and to recognize. But the men that are free, they realize these people's sense of reality is based on symbols and figures and shadows. Their concept of reality is yet a dream. And I'm telling you, you can live the dream when you know that God is Mr. Cool, and walk in the light as he is in the light, and you'll have fellowship one with another. But this is what has to happen, the reverse of what happened that forbade Adam and Eve to understand and fellowship with Mr. Cool. It's Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by what? Into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faith, brother, reverses unbelief. Simply believe what God says. Let him show you that he knows, he cares, and he is able abundantly. He's much more abundant. The buffet of God's grace is much more than we'll ever understand. Lord, I just thank you so much for this message. Not because I preached it, but Father, because there's truth in it, I hope, enough to feed people that are here so that they could walk away, Lord, being fed but remaining hungry, wanting you, and recognizing, Lord, the clarion call to reach others, whether still lost in their sins or being blood washed, remains a paradox until they understand, Lord, that it's a performance till we trust in the finished work of Christ, not just for our salvation, but for our day-by-day sanctification. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. That was pretty curious.
Thank you.